Om Shanti, good morning. So we have with us Brother Charlie, who is going to talk about overcoming subtle dependency. And for anyone who is meeting Brother Charlie for the first time, he is one of the first double foreigners who came to Gyan in the 70s, and he's also the national coordinator for Australia. So I'll hand it over to Brother Charlie.
Om Shanti. Good morning. And today is a very special morning because at last the day has come. Tonight we will all be sitting in front of Baba, sitting in front of God. That's a wonder, isn't it? And still to this day I sometimes think that all over our world millions, hundreds of millions are calling out to God, remembering God, praying to God, and tonight we're going to be sitting in front of Him. So how great is our fortune? And how much have we done in our past births to have that fortune to sit in front of Baba as we will tonight? One of my things I often remember, I've only read the Gita once or twice, but one thing really stands out for me. And in the Gita it says, that God says, and even Baba mentions this, out of millions only a few recognize me, and out of those few only a handful understand me as I truly am. So we are the few, but have I really understood Baba as He truly is? Because this whole life is about getting to know Baba, having an intimate relationship with Baba. And I love to remind myself it's the only time in eternity I can know God as He is. And one of the things that's actually been in my mind recently about Baba is that Baba is eternally free. Baba is always liberated. Baba never comes into bondage. Baba is never dependent. He's absolutely, eternally beyond influence. And that's His purity. That's why we're so attracted to Baba. And then Brahma Baba is a soul who was free, but came into bondage, like all of us. And yet he met Shiv Baba, remembered Baba, followed His instructions, and liberated himself. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? That through his own effort, he liberated himself from all bondage and all dependency. I think that's such an extraordinary thing. And I wonder, sometimes I ask myself the question, how free have I become? Because one of the things I think about this life is the whole of this life is designed for me to let go. It's a life of letting go everything that I've collected through the cycle and ultimately to become completely free and completely liberated. And Baba wants us to have that freedom from worries, all that sense of liberation, independence. Baba wants us to be that. And I actually remember once reading that Leo Tolstoy, you know, the Russian writer, we have some of the Russian family here, he once said that the greatest motivation in the human spirit is freedom. And I really believe that. I think that it's so deep in us to desire to be uncontrolled and unencumbered. And even Rousseau, the French philosopher, he once said that everywhere man is born free, though we know we bring our karmic account, that everywhere he is found in chains. So on one level we're sort of born free, but we have all these mental and emotional bondages which we create. And sometimes I think the great paradox of life is that we create our dependencies, we create our bondages, and we spend all our life fighting them, you know? We create them and then we fight to liberate myself from them. And it's almost a feeling that someone else has created these feelings. And I think we have a love-hate relationship with these things which I take support from. Because when we come to Baba, we're all in that mode of taking support from so many different things. And we love them because they give us some temporary fulfillment, some temporary attainment. But we sort of hate them because they're controlling me. And they're, you know, they're sort of on top of me, so to speak. And I often love to look at the whole journey of the soul throughout the cycle. And in the golden age, the soul sits so lightly in the forehead. So lightly in the forehead. It's like it's completely free. It just sits just so lightly there. And you may remember that when Brahma Baba had his visions, the story of Brahma Baba, his first vision was this incredible destruction. So much so that he went into this deep sort of reflection for a few days. He was a bit shocked by the power of this destruction. Then his next vision was of heaven. And do you remember that vision? There he just saw these souls coming down from Paramdham and just sitting on these deity foreheads, so lightly in the forehead. And really the wonder of the golden age is that we are in bodies, we are in families, we are in relationships, we have responsibility, but we are completely free, we are completely liberated. In other words, within all of us now, we have the blueprint of absolute freedom whilst alive, whilst in a human body. And we have that experience. And yet, when we come into the Copper Age, we start to look outside myself. I start to look to you, I start to look to other things. Whatever I desire will influence me. A spiritual law says, whatever I desire will influence me. Whatever I become dependent on will ultimately begin to influence me. And so by the end of the cycle, this human soul that was so free, so liberated at the beginning, it's like it's completely lost all its freedom. I've lost all my self-mastery. And I think whatever I become dependent on, that has power over me. Have you noticed that? It's like you become dependent, but that thing controls your happiness or sorrow. It really controls your moods and your feelings. So when that dependence, it can make you feel good temporarily, but sometimes it can give you so much sorrow. And many times I think, you know, this time is an extraordinary time because the soul is so dependent on so many things. We're so sensitive to this external world. And just the tiniest thing can influence our thinking, can influence my inner world. The soul has become so vulnerable because of this dependence. And I think that, you know, when we begin to see that, we begin to think, well, what is dependence? What is this power over me at this point of time? And to me, dependence is really identifying or taking support from anything temporary. When I attach my heart to anything temporary, it will create a dependence. And dependence gives birth to two powerful emotions. One is fear, and one is insecurity. And in a sense, dependence is a real sign of spiritual emptiness. To me, the more I become dependent on things, it's a sign that there's emptiness inside, and I'm looking to the external world to provide my needs. And one of the great things for us is that my observation of myself is that the more you become dependent, it sort of blocks out my ability to feel really close to Baba. And so this dependence is really identifying or taking support from anything temporary. What is real freedom? What is spiritual freedom? In the world, you know, we know there's so many causes for freedom and liberation, but it's on a very sort of gross level. To me, freedom is identifying and taking support from that which is permanent, that which always exists, that which is eternal. And over the last year or two, this has been something really important to me, that I can only know spiritual stability and spiritual power when I put my roots, when I lay my foundation on that which always exists. This is the foundation of a deep spiritual stage. And when I do that, it will liberate the soul automatically. It will give the soul freedom. But if I hold on to anything temporary, if I have a dependent relationship with anything temporary in this world, that will actually cause me suffering and sorrow in some form. And one of the ways I've been looking at it is that when we come into the cycle, the soul is in full bloom of self-respect. I love that sort of image. It's just nothing can influence my sense of well-being, my sense of inner joy, my sense of good feelings for myself and others. But as we come down the cycle and begin to look outside myself, we start to build this dependent network of I and my. Because I lose my spiritual power, I look outside and I become dependent on things that give me a temporary sense of well-being. And it's like a network of I and my. I is ego, my is dependence. And sometimes I think of it like a big spider web. You know, it's like the soul was so clean and then we start to build this spider web inside of me and it's all sticky. And the paradox is that the more I feel empty and the more I feel insecure, the more dependent I become on things outside of myself, the more I feel trapped in my own spider web, and I call to God to free me, to liberate me. And I often remember one of our sisters in Australia. She did a meditation commentary, and it really was an interesting thing because she asked us to stand in front of a huge house, a huge mansion. And this mansion had 84 rooms inside of it. So I think you can get where I'm going. And it was really interesting because she told us to walk into the first room and look around. And there was a huge wardrobe with all the clothes I'd worn in a particular lifetime. And then there was pictures on the wall of all my relations, people I've known, you know, children, grandchildren. And then there was on the mantelpiece, there was all the trophies, the achievements, the things I've done. You know, there's all these things, my clothes, my achievements, my relationships. And then we went out of that room into another room. And once again, a whole wardrobe of clothes, a whole, you know, wall of pictures of things that have happened. And it gave me the realization of how we've got layers and layers of dependence in the soul in the second half of the cycle. This network, this spider web of I and my, that is the thing that holds the soul down. My possessions, my relationships, my responsibilities, my opinions, my ideas. Layers and layers are just sitting in the soul. And we've created it, we've sustained it, we hold on to it, and then Baba comes in the confluence age and says, but children, now dismantle this whole creation you've created, this whole network. And sometimes I think of it like this, of I and my, to give me a sense of temporary security. Baba says, now children, let it go. And in a way, this is really the journey of this life, to really let go this. And, you know, I think sometimes we come to Baba, we love Baba, but we still hold on to this network because it gives me temporary security. I need to be deeply secure in my relationship with Baba to let go and become free from the spider web of dependence that the soul has really created in the subconscious. It needs a lot of courage. And sometimes I think that this whole journey in this life, the image I always love is to be an angel. Who loves the image of the angel? Silly question, wasn't it? It's such a beautiful image. And you know, one of the things I love about the angel is the angel is totally free. Look at the angel Brahma, completely and utterly free. And this is my intrinsic state. Sometimes I think, just like peace is the intrinsic state of the soul, I think it is equally, freedom is my intrinsic and natural state. But this journey of letting go gross dependence, subtle dependence, refined dependence is our journey on this life. And I sometimes think that the first step, we move from a body conscious life to a Brahman, a massive step. And in that step, as I recognize Baba, I recognize who I am, instantly I begin to let go a gross dependence which I've collected, based on perhaps my body and my bodily relationships. And this will be things like, dependence on my possessions, my culture of birth, opinions of society, a whole lot of things like this that are really like a gross form of dependence from things outside of me. And this is a big step, because many people can't even take this step. And that's why I always admire Brahmins. Even to step onto this path, we will automatically let go some of our gross dependent behavior. But when I establish myself in this spiritual journey, the next step is from Brahmin to serviceable. When I begin to see, I commit to Baba, I commit to this family, and I really see myself, this is who I am, I'm Baba's child. And what happens, I think, is that I put my hand up and I fully involve myself in Baba's family and in service. But subtly, I rebuild my network of I and my within the Brahman world. I've let go the gross form, but I rebuild a subtle form of dependence within my Brahman life. So I begin to, in a sense, base my sense of self on my virtues, my specialties, my role, my position, a whole lot of things sitting in the soul. So I've just sort of shifted the gross dependence to a subtle dependence. And sometimes I think that within Brahman life we create that subtle dependence and we sustain it. Because why do we do that? Because it's giving me something. Having a role, having a position gives me some sense of well-being about who I am. But because I'm dependent on those things, I have to protect it. And that's where I think this, when we step into really the Brahman world, it flushes out a whole set of sanskars that are sitting underneath the soul, that may not have even been experienced before. The sanskaras of competition, the sanskaras of comparison, the sanskaras of jealousy. You know, jealousy is an emotion experienced in anticipation of losing something I value. Like, I value my role, I value my position. Someone may come along that seems to threaten something that's important to me because I'm dependent on it. So that powerful emotion of jealousy can take over and influence me. We can become defensive, we can become territorial. And these things can often flush out conflict. And sometimes they think it's like that I'm Baba's child, I have faith in Baba, I love Baba, I'm committed to Baba. But because of these subtle dependencies I've created, I don't feel that happy. I'm not really happy. And I think that many of us feel we're at that point in this journey. We're committed. And we have actually let go a lot, but there's still a lot to let go. And I think this next step is the step from serviceable to angel. And that's the step of completely letting go, where the soul lets go all dependence on the need for recognition, for respect, for position, for role, for being acknowledged, for being included, all those things that often come up and flush out emotion into my mind and make me feel sometimes a bit insecure or whatever. And I think this step from serviceable to angel is an incredible step on this journey, because to me it's a step of letting go all the supports that have supported me for half a cycle, all the dependent things that have given me a sense of self, and I depend on one support. And to me, this is really the ultimate step on our journey to really take, for my heart, for my mind, take the support of absolutely one. It's Baba who found me, it's Baba who's sustaining me, it's Baba who's guiding me. And I think that that step, in a natural way, even diffuses the subtle dependencies which sit in the soul. Because there's so many subtle things sitting in the soul, and all of us know on this journey that we come in front of pulls, attractions and influences. We could call them dependent things. And one of them, which I've often looked at quite deeply, is a dependency on a belief about myself. At the end of the cycle, I hold these powerful beliefs about who I am. Sometimes I hold the belief that I'm not lovable. And even when people show me love, I can't really feel it because my belief is so strong. Sometimes I hold this belief. I think most of us hold this belief that I'm not worthy. As I became impure, this belief was etched deep in the soul. So when I come in front of Baba, a sense of unworthiness comes. I want to come close, but a sense of unworthiness doesn't allow me to feel close. But it's like I'm dependent on that identity of feeling unworthy. Or sometimes the belief I hold about myself that I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not good enough. However well you do, and sometimes we do so well, you know, we do things brilliantly, and yet it's never good enough. I often remember there was one person who came to our center, and she was the stage manager of one of the world's great comedians, a very famous person all over the world. And this person is such a good comedian that he gets the whole audience in the palm of his hand. And when he finishes, he gets encore after encore after encore. You know, maybe 5-10 times the audience says, more, more, more. And she said every night he walks into the wings and he says, was I good enough? Did they like me? You know, they loved him. And yet that sense of self-doubt is so powerful. But it's like Baba says, child, you are an angel. Child, you are a world benefactor. Child, you are an ancestor soul. But we say, oh no, Baba, no, I'm not. You don't know what I'm like. It's actually Baba who knows what I'm like. Baba sees the eternal reality of the soul. I'm stuck in this temporary reality where I'm dependent on a perception of myself as so limited and weak. And actually, to me, this is what this life is really about. It's breaking down these rigid beliefs about myself. Because sometimes we have the knowledge, sometimes we teach the knowledge, and yet we hold on to these very powerful beliefs about my own limitations, about what I'm not. And yet, really we need to step into that true feeling about who I am. Even I think, an interesting one I've been thinking about recently too, is the dependence the soul has on the sense organs. Think, at the beginning of the cycle, I just came into the body and I sat here, absolute master of these senses. And the way I look at it now, and I love the image of my mind like a sacred place. I love the image, my mind like a crystal bowl of pure, clean water, so still. This is the original, true state of the human mind, clean. But there's gateways into the human mind. What I hear, what I see, the memory. And sometimes I hear things and I allow it to penetrate my sacred space and disturb my mind. Because I've now become dependent on the sense organ of hearing. I allow what I hear to come in and drive my thinking. This means I'm dependent on the sense organ of hearing or the sense organ of sight. I see something and I let it penetrate through my eyes and drive my thinking. And in a sense, it means that the world is driving my thinking rather than me, or even my memory bubbles up and drives my thinking. And this is a dependence that the soul has at the end of the cycle. The soul that was the master is now under the influence of the power of the senses. And really, that's why my mind's going so fast, because it's driven by the information of the world through my eyes, my ears, my memory, whatever. And yet, a true yogi actually is like, sits in that sacred place and sees everything, hears everything, but doesn't allow it to enter the sacred space. That is what a detached observer really is. A detached observer is one who has become free from the dependence on my sense organs. This is really deep stuff in a way for the soul to observe something, even observe people being rude to each other. Usually it triggers feelings, doesn't it? It triggers feelings. But a true yogi will be compassionate, will try to help, will try to understand, but does not allow the sense organs to deceive me and take over my mind. Even the dependence on being a victim. I think sometimes we position ourselves for many births as a victim. You know, there's different visions on the soul. Sometimes I think there's four visions on the soul. There's the vision of the world. The world will judge and label you in 1 second. No, not 1 second. 1.1 of a second. And sometimes we feel a victim of the worldly view of who I am. There's others. And often we get criticized by others. We feel a victim of others' attitudes, or even my own vision on myself. Sometimes not a very elevated vision. I feel a victim of that vision. But there's Baba's vision. and he sees the original state of the soul. And many times I feel that this journey of this life is stepping out of that sense of being a victim of the vision of others, the vision of the world, and stepping into Baba's vision. Because someone once said to me, what is the behavior of a victim? How can I tell I'm behaving as a victim? A victim will always blame. The behavior of a victim is to blame something for my sense, the feeling I'm having. So whenever I feel my mind even blaming a person or a situation for my sense of feeling inside, I've become a victim. I'm dependent on that part of feeling victimized in my life. Or even, I think sometimes we're dependent on feeling, if I can say, unloved, excluded, not belonging. I think it's quite a powerful thing at the end of the cycle. There's so much sensitivity. In the Golden Age, it was a world of belonging. There was no sense of separation from each other. Really, we were one. It was like, I don't think we can just understand it now, because each one has a body and an ego based on that body, and there's always difference. But there, my whole sense of identity is I belong, I feel a part. And at the end of the cycle, I feel rejected in a way. My lack of self-respect interprets things that make me feel I don't belong. People don't want me. People don't love me. And it sometimes this happens time and time and time again. It's like I'm dependent on that reaction. I don't change that reaction. And yet we then will blame others for that. And yet it's my own sanskara that is deceiving me, and I've become dependent on that response to other people. Even I think the subtle dependence of being right, feeling I am right. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, Baba defined ego, and he said, ego is really when I feel I am right. Can't you see the way I think is right? The way I perceive situations is right. You know, this is a very, very deep feeling in the soul too. And when I feel I'm right, things have to be my way. And sometimes we're even dependent on that. And yet, freedom is when I think I can admit sometimes I'm not right. You know, I'm wrong. Actually, when I let go these forms of dependence, it frees me from a lot of attitudes that actually are creating a heaviness and a sorrow within the soul. Dependence on praise, recognition, and respect. How deep is that? I remember realizing when I became a BK in London in those early days, once Daddy was praising another brother, my friend actually. And I can remember feeling something inside. It just instantly came up inside of me. And I began to realize how deep the sanskara is to seek the approval of others, to seek the approval of seniors, to even, you know, do behavior, do actions, and if others approve of me, I approve of myself. My whole sense of my well-being is through the eyes of others. If you like me, I'm okay. If you approve of me, I'm okay. It's a very dependent behavior also. And I think to free myself from that dependence of seeking praise, seeking recognition, seeking respect, it's just supplementing my own lack of self-respect. We know that. But the habit to seek it is very strong. And so often I suppress who I am. I suppress what I really feel. I suppress, you know, what is inside of me, because I think it may make another person happy. So I'm living my life through the eyes of others. Even, I can say, a dependence on doing. That's an interesting one. I think sometimes we become BKs and we sit in yoga. We have some experiences, but we all know, when we're really honest, that to have an unadulterated, loving link with one Baba is ultimately the result of this entire life, isn't it? To have this incredible connection with Baba. And I feel that if sometimes we battle in yoga, yoga is difficult, subconsciously or consciously, we lose myself in action, in service. It's almost, it's not even a conscious thing. Because I find one part of my life difficult, I go into that part of life. Because for half the cycle, I've defined myself by what I do. You know, in body consciousness, when you think at the heart of body consciousness is I do an action and you love me, you respect me, you give me something, I get an attainment from an action. That's been how I've been living. Though sometimes I didn't get the attainment and then I get hurt or frustrated or angry. Soul consciousness is the opposite. I sit in yoga, I remember Baba, I attain love, I attain peace, I attain respect, I attain, and then I come into action. I'm already full, and so my actions come from a place. And I don't have a desire at the end of my action. I'm not wanting you to love me. If you love me, it's okay, but if you don't, that's okay. If you respect me, that's nice, but if you don't, that's also okay. I'm not dependent. I'm not doing actions to receive something. Because that addiction to doing and is very, very powerful. And I remember that story. Once we were in Oxford, and I was at one of those call of times with Daddy Jenki, and one of the people, Daddy was talking about the importance for time for the self, and you know, caring for the self. And one of the participants said to her, "Oh yes, Daddy, it's lovely, but you know, I'm too busy." And there was Daddy's classic statement, I think it's become famous, busyness is for lazy people. Which I think is a really interesting concept, that sometimes, you know, it's a sign of spiritual laziness sometimes when I'm just sort of caught up in doing, 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 and I'm dependent on that to get attainment in life, because it takes effort in this life to sit with my own thoughts, my own feelings, to go to Baba and attain everything I need through the purity of my own thinking and my connection with one Baba. Even, I would say, like a dependence on a special friend within Brahman life, even that can be a subtle dependence, because all these dependencies subtly put a barrier between me and Baba. They're very, very subtle. Wherever I have a subtle attainment from a temporary dependent thing, it's sort of a subtle barrier to a perfect and deep link with Baba. And I think, how can I tell that I have a dependent relationship with another soul? I remember once Baba said, whenever you have a problem, whenever you have a difficulty or a challenge in your life, a big problem, where does your mind go? Who do you go to? Do you think of a human being or do you think of Baba? And Baba said, that's the sign, really, of the depth of my relationship with Baba. Because ultimately, that's where we're going in this life. And so it's like the soul was clean, then all these layers of dependence, the spider web of all these subtle things have been sitting in the soul. And Baba's now come to liberate us, to free us from all this which is sitting inside of me. And I think sometimes that it's a high destination. It's a high destination to really have one Baba in my heart and really let go everything around me or dependence on everything around me. And I think ultimately the solution is the focus of my love. Whatever I love, that is my state of consciousness. If I love the right things, I will become completely free. I loved the wrong things and I became dependent. When I love my own body instead of myself as a soul, it's created ego. Ego is the child of false love of the self. When I love the bodies of others, it's created lust and attachment. When I love material things, it creates greed. In a sense, inaccurate or the wrong focus of love has created the dependence. And that's where, in the confluence age, I think Baba gives us this incredible education of what to love. And when I love the right things, it will completely liberate me. Like Brahma Baba became the angel, I will become completely free. So Baba's educating us to move our love from temporary to eternal. If I love anything temporary, if I attach my heart to anything temporary, I will suffer. That's what we've done for half the cycle. Now, Baba says, children only love that which always exists. And I always have this simple line in my mind that Baba said, true love is loving that which always exists. So I move my love from that which is temporary, which creates dependence, to that which is permanent. From that which is physical, from that which is spirit to spiritual. From that which is dependent love to pure love. It's a transformation in this way. And I think that's all Baba does, because sometimes I think when we say you have to give up dependence, I don't think it's possible. I really don't. I think you can only replace it or transform it. And this is Baba's great wisdom. He says, children, just love the right things and you will become completely free. And that is loving Baba as a soul, loving myself as a soul, loving others as souls. When I love things which always exist, and that's the foundation of my attainment, the soul will become absolutely free. And loving Baba as a soul, I think there's two types of love. There's indirect love or devotional love. And this is really like a bhakti form of love in a way. And sometimes I think that we are in love with the idea that Baba's the ocean of love, if that makes any sense. It may not. It's not really that I feel it, but I just love the concept that there is an ocean of love. But there's that direct love or that spiritual love, the love of the yogi, where I'm actually in direct connection with Baba. He's the lover of the soul. And when I fall in love with the one who's incorporeal, viceless and egoless, what do I become? It's automatic. I become incorporeal, viceless and egoless. I will become like that. It's a natural consequence. But if I love Baba, I have faith in Baba, I follow Baba's directions, but I sustain dependent human relationships, a very subtle thing begins to happen in the soul. I sustain my dependent nature. So that on the one hand, I'm remembering Baba and making effort to become pure. I get up for Amrit Vela, I read the Mauli, I'm doing everything. But on the other hand, I'm sustaining. My insecurity means I'm sustaining dependent relationships. So I'm sustaining those sanskars within me. Sometimes I think that, you know, at the end of the cycle, there's so much impurity in the soul. And Baba, you know, how do I really become pure? It's having all relationships with one, because that sanskar, when I have all relationships with one, networks with all the original purity and virtue in the soul. But when I hold on to dependent relationships, it also networks with the impurity, the ego, the dependence, etc. And so often I'm making effort to remember Baba, but I'm holding on to dependent relationships, so I don't really see that I'm really moving forward. Because I think the most powerful sanskar for the human soul is to have all relationships with one. And once we asked Daddy Prakashmini why Baba made you the main instrument of the yajna, and I always remember she said, because right from the beginning I had all relationships with one Baba, and that wins Baba's trust. And I think that that's really the seed of the soul becoming free. I can live in this world and then I can remain free when really my heart is sustained by one. It's ultimately the secret to spiritual power, I would say. And then having relationship with myself as a soul. Because I've thought a lot about this, because the first relationship in life is with me. And if that is dysfunctional, it pollutes everything. And we have three personalities inside, and we're trying to have relationship with two of these personalities, which are very dependent personalities, and it hasn't enabled the soul to really progress. And I remember once Baba said, children, let go the eye of arrogance and the eye of disheartenment and emerge the eye of soul consciousness. It's something I always remember, because it just made it so clear to me that in the second half of the cycle, as I began to think of myself as a body, it's produced two personalities. And these personalities have really created so much dependence within the soul. You know, the personality, the eye of arrogance, it it has so much dependence on how people think of me, etc., etc. The eye of lack of self-respect is so dependent on its sense of inferiority. And we've got to rebuild the sense of I, the soul. Because the more I have arrogance or disheartenment, I feel separate. You know, the nature of ego is that it makes you feel separate from others. You know, you feel alienated, you don't feel close. Sometimes we feel in the Brahman family, it's not a close family, or I don't really belong, or they don't really love me or accept me. Mostly it's the creation of my own body conscious ego. Ego, the role of ego is it will make you feel separate, it will make you feel different, it will make you feel you don't belong, and it's very convincing in your own head. And even having the relationship with others as souls, I think that when I really practice these things deeply, at the end of last year, my memory of the Sakamolis, what I love about the Sakamolis is how Baba takes up a thread over weeks and months and builds on it and builds on it. And at some points Baba was saying, children, the deepest efforts of all efforts is to see the other as a soul. And many times we think, well, that's pretty basic, isn't it? But actually, I've seen myself, you know, sometimes we just look at the forehead. Then we begin to imagine there's a soul sitting in the forehead. And then I start to begin to experience myself as a bodiless soul. And I see how the soul sits in a body of another. And then even when I experience myself to be incorporeal, I love this, because when you taste the feeling of being non-physical, distinct and unique from your material form in this material world, I can so clearly see how the soul works through a body. I see the soul as distinct from the body. It's an incredible feeling. The body is like a puppet that the soul is acting through. And even I think further than that, the sense that I begin to see the part in the soul. And I've really loved this, even recently, the way Baba says, children, each soul has an eternal, imperishable, unchangeable part. And sometimes if I find my mind doubting or criticizing, reacting to the behavior of another soul, I think, what am I doing? This is a permanent, indelible, unchanging part. I can't change it. It's such a deep wisdom, because I feel when I see that, the soul is not dependent on any reaction to another soul at all. That soul's playing their eternal part. Some parts are sweet and some parts are not so sweet. But they're all playing their part accurately. If I start to think, I like this part and I don't like that part, that's body consciousness. In soul consciousness, I accept everyone's part. Everyone is playing their part, whoever they are. And in a sense, it gives you a natural observation. So it frees me from a lot of overthinking. Because I feel that letting go, this incredible journey of becoming free, this life is becoming free. I can be in any situation, any atmosphere, with any people, and yet my mind's not worrying, my mind's not feeling heavy, my mind's not feeling tense about people's attitudes. I'm free mentally. It's a beautiful feeling in life when I can do that. And some years ago, I experimented, because Baba said the main practice in this life is to be bodiless. You know, the fundamental result of all knowledge, I would say the result of absorbing the ocean of knowledge, is to let go the body in 1 second. This is our fundamental, the result of all our study. In 1 second I let go the consciousness of my body. In 1 second I let go the consciousness of body relationships. In 1 second I let go the consciousness of service. In 1 second I let go the consciousness of responsibilities. And it's like this is the ultimate result of all our study. It's like letting go all the things I've become dependent on, and all the subtle things, and freeing myself. And that's why this, it's like the fitness of Brahman life. The more I'm able to let go and free myself, the more powerful the soul feels. And I can remember when I was doing that, observing, where do I get stuck? In that 1 second, as you start to let go and go to Baba, where do I get stuck? Do I get stuck in over-analyzing? Do I get stuck in over-processing? Do I get stuck in trivial thinking? Where do I hold on? Am I holding on to old attitudes? Am I holding on to scenes of life? Because all of these things won't allow me to reach the ultimate destination of letting go everything and going totally to Baba. And I think for most of us, the sweetest experience is for the soul to be absolutely absorbed in one. And that is really silence to me, where the mind has closed and all the doors of the sense organs, there's no pull in any way. I'm sitting in front of Baba. I'm totally resonating with Baba. I'm not absorbed in my own thinking, my own processing. I'm just absorbing from one. And it's that purity of relationship that really transforms the soul. And it's in that state that the soul really catches what Baba wants for me. There's no other influence at that time, because I've gone beyond all my dependencies. There's just me and Baba. And that's really where we want to go. And the paradox is that I remember Baba, and that helps me let go my dependencies. But my dependencies are also the things that stop me from that real sense of closeness, that real sense of deep connection with one. And so it's I sometimes think there's so many ways you can think of this life, but this way of just freeing myself, letting go, freeing myself, so ultimately I can live in this world like I was as a deity and yet remain totally free. And I think the two main things in the human soul are love and freedom. And if there's only love without freedom, it's often dependent. We need both together. We need to be loving that sense of freedom as well. So, I'm watching the time. It's a big clock at the back of the hall here. And I don't know, I'm not sure, is there time for a few questions, or should we just have some meditation? I'm asking Trish.
No, it's lovely. If anyone would like to come up and ask a question, you're really welcome. Yeah, who would? Yes, please. If you could come forward, do you mind? Come and take the mic and then we'll all hear.
And it's always nice if you don't mind mentioning your name and country.
That's Om Shanti, Dharmesh from Africa, Central Africa, Cameroon. If we were to compare letting go with detachment, I think there is lots of common between them. I've always been puzzled by, say, we always say, be loving and detached. I wanted to know which quality goes with letting go. Complementary quality which is associated with letting go. Because we say be loving and detached. And so we should let go
and become free.
And then become
free.
Become free. Okay,
yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. Oh, Shanti.
Yeah, I think that it's always one of the biggest questions for Baba's children, this relationship between these two seeming opposites, love and detachment. But the memory in my mind is when Baba once said, to be truly loving, you have to be detached. And a lot of us would like to be loving, so we sort of think of, how can I express? But actually, the more you become uninfluenced, you can love people who are sweet. You can love people who are not so sweet. You can love people in a good mood. You can love people in not such a good mood. You know? And I always remember Baba meeting, personal meetings. Baba met such a variety of souls, and yet Baba always completely loving. I feel, in a way, that each time of the confluence age has a special virtue that's required. And I think the great virtue required by we Brahmins is to be very, very detached, but very, very loving. And I think, you know, I remember once Baba saying that if you don't become detached now, you'll have to become detached by compulsion. The drama will force you. And I would say the sign, what is a real indicator of a knowledgeful soul? A soul that really lives knowledge, not just teaches it, but lives it, I would say they're very detached. And detachment is the sign of a soul who has a deep relationship with Baba. Because the more you're with Baba, it almost pulls you away from influences. It's a natural consequence. If I say I love Baba, but I'm very affected by things and I'm very affected by people, it's more a devotional love than a real deep love, because I think I've seen the daddies, they're so loving, they're so sweet, but they're quite uninfluenced by the scenes of drama and personalities, moods. Because the more you're with Baba, you're pulled away from the influences of the world. It's an interesting virtue.
Hmm. Om Shanti. I'm Mariam from Costa Rica. Thank you for the class. I really liked. My question is about the relationship with Baba now, and I feel like if we have to detach from Morley even, and even to see Baba in this corporeal world, because I have been feeling that when he is not coming, like feelings of sadness, that I feel like if I'm prepared of not having Baba physically, you know. So I want to know, how is your relationship, because I feel like maybe I'm too attached that Baba is coming to the earth, and even attached to the Murli, like when Baba speaks a Murli, I really appreciate Murli. But if, as you said, maybe at the end, we just have a relationship with Baba that it's completely without anything. So what is your experience now? Because you have been having all these experiences, having Baba just so close, and then even, you know, bigger family, and Baba coming less and less and less. So what is your experience now?
It's an interesting question, because I remember Didi Manmohini. When Baba left the body in 1969, he appointed two sisters as the responsible instruments, Dadi Prakashmini and Didi Manmohini. Didi Manmohini left her body in 1983. And I remember she was saying that when Baba was in Sakar, when Brahma Baba was alive and Shiv Baba was there, and he was there, they just grew up with Shiv Baba around. She actually said, I didn't make much effort because Baba was always there, you know. She said actually it was when Baba became avyakt that she really made more effort to go beyond herself and have that more avyakt and incorporeal relationship. And I'm a great believer there's benefit in everything. Of course we love to meet Baba, he comes into the Sakar, but as far as I remember, Baba has said there'll be a point of time when this part will finish. But what will that do? That may make us go beyond more, because we'll only be able to have that subtle relationship with Baba, that I become detached from my body and I really have the purity of intellect to really feel the presence, the company of the avyakt form. And so I think that it's been such a long time. You know, 1 year, 1986, Baba didn't come. Dadi Gulzar wasn't well, that's when her health problems were there. For a whole season, Baba didn't come. And so it has happened before. We don't know the drama, though many of Baba's children speculate what might happen. We're very good at that sometimes. But I feel each scene has its benefit. And I feel that the scenes of drama, you know, sometimes we become complacent. Baba comes, they will push us to a new level. Sometimes I think too that we're in the mode of serving, speaking, doing. There's a whole world to serve, but I think as the final scenes kick in, I really think we will realize there's only a short time to create my eternal fortune. And I think we won't speak much, we'll only speak when necessary. And we will be really yogi. Whereas now probably my mind is more connected with this world and service and people. And when I sit in meditation, I go to Baba. But I think then we will really be living with Baba. And a little while ago, I was thinking there's like three worlds the mind can live in. There's the external world, you know, where the mind's constantly reacting, absorbing, responding, you know, watching things, hearing things, the senses are driving the mind. That world is a very powerful world. There's the inner world of my story, my feelings. And sometimes the mind goes into this whole story, this inner story, gets lost in my own how I feel, what's happened, what's going on. Or there's Baba's world, you know, where my mind, and I think that's the effort, not to live, that the mind be dominated by the external world or dominated by my past story or the inner world, but to really live in Baba's world. And that's the subtle region. And I think, you know, if Baba doesn't come, I think it will pull us more into that subtle experience, that feeling of subtle connection with Baba. That's my sense anyway. I don't know, I have a... Who was here for Daddy Prakashmani's funeral? There's a few of us who are here. Those 3 days were amazing because we didn't speak much. I remember there was like 20,000 people here. And it was like an avyat. The whole of Shantivan was like in the subtle region. It was amazing. And I really got a vision of what the final times would be. All the Brahmins, but it was such a sweet feeling. It was a lovely feeling. But all the angels were moving around in silence. And it was just, it created an incredible atmosphere. And I remember I had jet lag when I arrived. I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I went into Diamond Hall and there must have been 7,000 or 8,000 people sitting in meditation in Diamond Hall. The vibration was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I think that will be the memory of the the angels at the end of the cycle, when we really hold that, even though Baba's not in the corporeal, I'm in the subtle world with Baba, creating that environment, creating that feeling.
And we're talking about the soul consciousness, putting efforts, and you said...
Would you like to mention who you are and where you're from?
I'm BK Shilpa from Bangalore, India. And we're talking about shedding the dependency to become soul consciousness. And the practice of soul consciousness will lead us to shed that dependency. Can you tell something like the gross efforts, what Brahma Baba made, like writing that I'm a soul, and telling, okay, this name of the soul and this is soul. Gross level efforts, and even Brahma Baba practiced maybe like subtle efforts. So some efforts which would help us to practice soul consciousness.
Oh, that's a huge story. But I feel that is really the foundation of this life, is the practice of soul consciousness. The beginning of the yajna, they had 14 years, very little service, just karma yoga. The entire practice, culture, environment, atmosphere was to be a soul. And Baba would teach them to wake up in the morning and just feel, I the soul have incarnated, I the soul bathe my body, I the soul eat food, I the soul meet you the soul. It's like we're addicted, totally addicted after 2,500 years to the identity of a temporary physical body. It's just, to me, it's all about attention. And I'll often mention this because doing experiments in the laboratory of your mind, so it's not just a belief. Even in bhakti, we all believe we're a soul, in most religions. But the first step is to know, the second step is to believe, the next thousands of steps is how to feel it, experience it, live it and be it. And to me, Brahma Baba, you can hear the Sakamuli, his attention, incredible attention, to keep experimenting in the laboratory of the mind as you go around the day. This is to me what effort is. I just have this attention. And I often... You know, my most recent experiment is to be incorporeal. And to me, that gives some of the sweetest and most unique feelings, that when you really not just know or believe, but it feels separate from matter, it's just such an extraordinary feeling. It's like you don't have to practice to be detached, but nothing of the corporeal can influence you because you're a different energy, you're on a different plane. And I think that it's like really practicing, because when I'm soul conscious, it's true, all the dependencies begin to fall away. And it's the bread and butter of spiritual life, because the most fundamental basic thing is that if I'm not soul conscious, I can't connect with Baba. I can believe in Baba. And so often when we meditate, we're just sitting believing in God. We're not really connecting. I have to be on the same wavelength as Baba as a soul to really connect. This is deep work over many years. This is the spiritual life, actually. This gentle and constant attention on myself. It's really important and the foundation of everything I feel. Okay, maybe one last thing and then we're going to liberate everybody because you
This is BK Sanjay from Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Thank you very much for making us aware of subtle dependencies to become one with Baba. Baba always says in the Murli that remember me alone and all your sins will be absolved. What is the mechanism of burning this past vikarma, past bad actions? Because as per law, to every action there is a reaction. But he says your sins will be absolved. How does it work out? Thank you.
It's really, I think, a question of the intellect. You know, as we sit here, in each one of us, the whole part is sitting in the soul. From the golden age of sanskaras to the copper age sanskaras to the iron age sanskaras. And at the moment, the intellect is dominated by the iron age of sanskaras. Sometimes I think it's like you think of a long playing record. The last few seconds of music is of the iron age of sanskaras, but they're the ones I'm hearing. You know, I'm not hearing the rest of the record. They're dominating me. As Baba gives us knowledge of who I am and the cycle, I start to actually be influenced more by the original sanskaras, the eternal sanskaras of the soul, the original sanskaras of the deity soul. So it's like when the intellect becomes pure, it is uninfluenced by the impure sanskaras and more influenced once again by the pure sanskaras. So it's almost like the impure sanskaras, they fall back latent into this part of the soul. And the soul is only influenced really by the original and elevated sanskaras. So in a way, I'm probably not saying that you really burn them, but they just have no influence because they will exist in the eternal part of the soul, but they become latent, they become dormant, they can't control the soul anymore. Okay, so maybe we can have a couple of minutes of meditation. And I think everyone knows the bus is... Oh.
So, Charlie, we especially want to thank you from the heart on behalf of all of us. I think you must have all enjoyed his class. His words just flow from the heart and we know how sincere are the efforts that he does. I think this is why every word Charlie speaks is a treasure in our hearts. Do you agree? Yes? So thank you. Thank you very, very much. I also want to thank Charlie for something that I'm sure many of you experience when you come to Madhuban. Have you walked around Madhuban and seen Charlie sitting here, sitting there, with this one, with that one, whether they're young or old? I don't know anyone, Charlie, who gives his time so generously. Whenever we need to talk to him, he's always available. Is that your experience as well? So thank you so much for being available to all of us and for your deep wisdom from your true efforts.